Father, we thank you. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. We have gathered together once again unto the Lord. Unto the Lord have we gathered. Now, Lord, we declare this morning, let the entrance of your word bring light and understanding to us. Let it be as a fire in our bones. Ignite something. Say that did not our hearts burn within us. God be the glory. Thank you, Father. We give you all the glory, all the praise. Let the words of our mouth, even as it is written, even the preparations of the heart and the answer of the tongue, let it be from the Lord today. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, welcome to fellowship this morning. I want to bring this message. It's like yesterday's message, but I noticed that yesterday there was a lot of people missing, not present because of other commitments like church services and all. So I'm going to share this message again, slightly different, but same content. We're now focused on preparations for our September to remember, full gear now for the next 4 weeks. Today is August 3rd. We're exactly 1 month away from the start of that glorious meeting that we're expecting. September 3rd is the start date. Today is October 3rd. So we're only 1 month away. Today's message is going to be on getting ready for the glory. That's right. You know, get ready for the glory. September to remember. And that's the way that we are characterizing this in the spirit. It's the glory of God coming among the people. And that's what we are expecting. So get ready. You know, it's kind of like on your marks. Get set and go. So we're on our marks right now. This is the on your marks part of it. You know, it's interesting that, you know, for athletes, Paul said that a man that strives for masteries is temperate in all things, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. You know, so we're making preparation, but we got to do it according to the rules of engagement. You know, there are rules of engagement when you are, you know, preparing for a convocation like September to remember. And so we'll be talking about those rules of engagement, you know, now. People who are athletes, they do a lot of training to get ready for the event. And yet they are contending for what the Bible calls a crown that will corrupt, corruptible crown. But we are contending, or we are hoping to receive something that will last forever. Something that will make a lasting impression on us and propel us into glory. And so what should we be doing? You know, if we, if athletes might take all that time to make preparation between major events, one meet that they just finished, onto the other. They must make a lot of preparation. They deny themselves of many things when they are in training. You know, but all they are trying to achieve is a corruptible crown. Yet they do it. They put their body through all of that. We cannot, you know, we cannot approach this September to remember event in just a casual manner. So it's just one of those things. No, it's not one of those things. this God that has given a divine invitation. When God calls for a gathering, it's a summons to his people. And the glory will not come casually. It's going to take a lot of preparation, you know, and for us, intentional preparation, that is, you know, so that's what we're talking about today. We talked about it somewhat yesterday and talk about it again today. And we're going to talk about it some more, then pray about, you know, we're going to have a consecration meeting, you know, on, I believe it's, starting on Thursday, September 20th, through, no, not September, sorry, August through, you know, 4 days, just like the 4 days on the ground, 1 day per day on the ground. We will be having 4 days on the ground. The meeting itself will start September 3rd. There will be some people that are already arriving the day before, especially those from out of town. You know, so we will replicate those days in preparation. We'll have 4 days also here by the grace of God, virtually, you know, as we get ready for that. So the announcements have been posted concerning our upcoming the consecration time, August 20th, Thursday, to Sunday, just like the Thursday to Sunday event for September to remember. So, but before we get there, it's a lot of things that we've got to prepare our hearts with along the way. So, let's talk about it a little more today. Now, what is a gathering like this all about? Well, you know, it is heaven scheduled. Let me just put it that way. Heaven scheduled it, but the people must respond. You know, so we're trying to respond to what God has called for. Now, in the book of Exodus chapter 19, I want to read to us, you know, how that God, I mean, Moses prepared the people, try to get them to come out to meet the Lord. Well, that's what we are trying to do here. You know, we talked about, you know, prepare ye the way of the Lord and prepare the way of the people yesterday. So let's read one small section here in Exodus chapter 19. We will read, you know, from verse 17. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the northern part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was all together on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. The smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long, waxed longer and longer, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai, the top of the mount. You know, on the top of the mount, the Lord came down. And the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and he went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, go down and charge the people. And so forth. As they break through, you know, many of them will perish because they were not prepared. You know, and so let the priests also, which come near to the Lord, sanctify themselves. You know, that's the preparation. Now, those who are not prepared, they may be blown away by the presence of the Lord. But we must prepare ourselves, you know, and say, well, let them sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And the Lord said, Moses said unto the Lord, the people you know, cannot come because you charge us saying set bounds and so forth. The Lord said to him, away, get it down. I shall come up on Aaron and the priests and so forth. He gave them charge and everything to do. Well, the lesson of this story is, you know, God summoned the people and he came down to meet them. So this is a divine appointment. God is coming. That's for sure. The thing though is, you know, are we going to be ready? Are we making preparation, the proper preparation in our heart? You know, because the Lord is coming. Now, if you're going to receive a very important guest in your house, you know, I'm sure all of us will do something to get ready. You know, let's say there's someone that you really look forward to and someone that you never thought you could ever meet said they were coming to your house. Maybe someone that's highly placed in society, or maybe highly placed in your industry, or whatever it is. I mean, they're like the top notch. They're the guy. And they say, I'm coming to your house. Just like, just like Jesus said to Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house. The man ran down quickly, the Lord said, I'm coming to meet you at this time. Well, how do we need to get ready? So, the glory of God will come during the meeting. Because that's what we just read here. God called Moses, brought the people out to meet God, and God descended, and the mount was all together in a fire. So, that's what we are looking forward to. Now, here are the summons, though, for the call. Blow the trumpet in Zion. That's right. And so this month long, we're going to be blowing the trumpet. We've been announcing it, but we're going to sound it louder. That's what blow the trumpet means. You know, don't say it in a corner. Say it loud and say it proudly, because the Lord is coming to meet us. Blow the trumpet, it says in Zion. Glory to God. In the book of Joel, chapter 2, from verse 15. Blow the trumpet, sanctify fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people. See, it's a gathering. Sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children. They that suck. At the breast. Now, this was a commandment for all. I mean, gather them. Let them come. Well, is God going to disappoint when he schedules a meeting and calls a meeting? Will he not show up? Will he just call the meeting and let the people come there and then just leave them hanging? I don't think so. He will show up. You know, let the priests, ministers of the Lord, you know, let them prepare themselves. He said, weep between the porch and the altar. Spare thy people, O Lord. You know, and different things. You know, whatever the prayer they want to pray. He said, then the Lord will be jealous. Ha! Glory to God. He said, God, he will be jealous. He will remove the northern army and all that. You know, so it's a call. A call to gather the people. Gather the people. And that's what this call is all about. So September to Remember event is a call from God to gather the people. And the glory of God that we are expecting, just like it fell on Mount Sinai, that caused Mount Sinai to be all together on flame, on fire, is not going to be an accidental thing. You know, it's something that we must expect and prepare for. Praise God. So the glory of God require, you know, to experience the glory of God, requires preparation. How to prepare. So that's what we must be doing in this month. We have exactly 1 month to go. Now let's look at how a call for preparation was made in other places as well. In the book of Joshua, chapter 3, you know, the Lord began to walk with Joshua. Moses is gone now, so now it's Joshua. And Joshua said unto the people, so Joshua, you know, chapter 3 and verse 5, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Again, it's like preparation. Yesterday I was talking about the Lord always giving the people advance notice of what he's going to do. Like he will say, tomorrow, you go down and meet with them, you know, tomorrow. And, you know, when he says tomorrow, like when he said tomorrow to Jehoshaphat, what did he do today? Today, he worshipped and prepared his heart. And got all the people to worship along with him and to prepare their hearts as well. And then God revealed to him what he must do, you know, in addition to the instruction that came, that when you prepare your heart, God will give you another instruction to go along with that. The first instruction was, was an encouragement, you know, as Jehoshaphat was praying. You know, so these armies that come up against us, we have no strength against them. They outnumber us. But our eyes, he said, are upon you. And, you know, I said to people, well, that's the beginning of your miracle right there. When you look unto the Lord. So instruction said, tomorrow go ye down against them. Give them strategy. Coming up from this place, the cliff of Ziz, you'll find them at the end of the brook, and so forth. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Well, did Jehoshaphat actually stand still? Not exactly. He stood still as far as, you know, not using spears and swords, but he didn't exactly stand still. See, when he began to worship, we're told that as Jehoshaphat heard, he bowed his face to the ground. And all the other inhabitants of Judah followed suit. And they worshiped the Lord. You know, and when you do that, when you respond positively to the first instruction, he will illuminate your mind for the next step. So the Lord illuminated his mind. Let him know what to do. And he knew that what I had to do, since the Lord already promised the victory, I'm not just going to stand still exactly. I know I'm not going to fight. The Lord already said that. But I'm going to praise the beauty of holiness. Praise is something that the Lord will never reject. You know, so he said, well, I'm going to praise the Lord. So all the people and so forth, they stood up to praise the Lord with a loud voice. You know, and then the man began to consult among the people, said, look, I want the best people who are skilled with instruments and you know, wonderful voices and different things to praise the Lord, the sons of Asaph and different, all of you, come out. You know, those who have instruments according to the law of Moses, come out. So they came out. And then, you know, he commanded them, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness. Set them to go out in front. So stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord doesn't mean stand in a corner and fold your arms. No. You know, the first instruction said, go ye out to meet them. So you still have to go out and meet them. You know, but you're not going to be doing any fighting. Then what should you be doing? Well, praising the Lord then. So they had to prepare their heart, though. The day before, they prepared, you know, their heart. The Lord always preparing, you know, the heart of the people. So the preparation, I mean, entering and experience the glory requires preparation. Preparation. You know, when they were coming into the mount, many of them could not come near the mount. They were not prepared. Well, there is a mount of God that we must come into in September to remember. And there are certain things that must be done. And he said in Psalm 24, verse 3, who shall ascend into the holy hill of the Lord, or come up to that mount? Praise the Lord. Who? Well, who shall stand in his holy place, the place that he has chosen to put his name there to meet you? It's a sanctified place. It's a glory place. That's right. Who? Well, gives us right here the answer. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. You know, so preparation means getting all impurities out of there. You know, because the Lord is coming among you. So prepare your heart, for the Lord is coming among you. Now, the expectation, the one that's going to actually open the door because of the preparation of our heart. You know, Psalm 62 verse 5 says, my expectation is from the Lord. Well, what are you exactly expecting? Well, that's a question. You know, I mean, people who are making preparation right now, some people from out of town, even from out of the country, making preparation to come. What is it that you're expecting? I mean, I'm sure you're not just coming. you know, so what is it that you are expecting? Think about it. You know, why would you do all of that? You know, I mean, be making preparation, be, you know, buying ticket, taking time off, doing all of this stuff. I mean, what is it? You know, what is it that we're expecting? Well, that's the question that you must answer for yourself. You know, we must also come in unity. The unity invites the glory of God. Glory generally, the glory of God generally falls corporately. You know, not just individually. The unity of the brethren together is a magnet. Think of it that way, for God's presence. You know, when the people unite together, that's when the glory is coming. Psalm 133 talks about it. When they come together, it says there's fresh anointing that's coming. There's life that's coming. It's healing, presence of the Lord. Even abundant life is going to be released. You know. And this was demonstrated in 2 Chronicles 5. We saw that when 120 priests, 120, I don't know if it will be that many in this conference, but if 120 people can do it to be in one accord, then whatever number that we are in this conference, we can also do the same. You know, and here's what they did in 2 Chronicles chapter 5. You know, the he said the priests that were present, it came to pass, starting from verse 11, when the priests come out, the holy place for all the priests that were present was sanctified. In this particular occasion, they did not go in one by one. They did not go in by course. They used to do that before, one by one. This time around, they did it together. When they went in one by one, none of them experienced this thing that they're about to experience. But when they did it together. That's right. When they did it together, when all of them were together in one accord, they were all arrayed in white linen, signifying the cleansing. You know, white is very delicate. It reveals even the smallest dirt. You know, so that's why white linen is used to represent the righteousness of the saints. White linen. I want to make sure there is no impurities. They have cymbals, psalteries, harps, and all of these things. You know, now 120 priests sounding the trumpets. I mean, and there were more than that, because he said with them, you know, there were some priests and then there were some others. So they were 120 plus. And when he said it came to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, for God waited until their voice was synced up, aligned, perfect unity, you know, and harmony and alignment. You know, it came to pass when they were like that to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, you know, and when they lifted up their voice and their instruments in one accord, that's it, you know, just like the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost was fully come. People were in one accord, gathered together in one place. That unity invites the glory. And in this case, it came to pass that even as they were in one accord and singing and praising the beauty of the Lord and saying his mercy endureth forever, it came to pass that then, not before, but then was the house filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. The glory of God came. This time around, it came in a form of a cloud. Other times, it could come in the form of a fire. You know, and it was so thick that these priests could not even stand to minister by reason of the cloud. For the glory, so the cloud was the glory. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. You know, it was precipitated by the unity of the people. Very important. That's what drew that glory in. And when God does that, well, the glory, I mean, when the people do that, rather, then the glory of God will manifest like that. And in the book of Numbers, chapter 10, I mean, there are many examples in the Bible, you know, that help us to learn this secret, you know, and learn the secrets, telling them, you know, all the assembly shall assemble themselves together. When they blow the trumpet, you know, it said in the Numbers chapter 10, verse 3, when you blow the trumpet, all the assembly shall assemble themselves together and so forth, you know, and, you know, it told them how to do it. Gathering together of the people, very, very important. And now we're sounding the trumpet. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. We're sounding. Now, when the people gather together like that, well, it said in the book of Acts that the place was shaking together where they were, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So, you know, this glory that we're talking about is not just emotional hype. I'm just trying to hype up for it. No. It's a reality. It's Holy Ghost reality, our presence. That time too, we expect God to speak clearly. On Mount Sinai, the voice came. The confusion that people have will break. You know, when the glory comes, God will speak. Hallelujah. When God speaks, he instructs us clearly, you know, even for days to follow, we'll remember his voice. People are transformed, you know, when the glory of God is seen. You know, it exposes many things, but it also brings transformation. We see the example in Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah saw something that transformed him. So we want to experience transformation. Want to experience transformation. So you can tag September to remember like this. September to remember. Experience the glory of God. We're going to put out a flyer that says that in a few days. September to remember. Experience the glory of God. In the book of Psalm 102, verse 13, it says, the time to favor God's people has come. The set time. Well, God said the time. We've been talking about it for 7 months since the beginning of this year. I mean, actually 8 months now, we've been talking about it. And, God, the set time has come. We're just about a month away. You know, God has put his mark on this time. Some things that are going to happen. God is coming to meet the people. It's an appointment, and things that we usually look forward to in those appointments, well, our expectation will not be cut off. Breakthrough, visitation, favor, and so forth. Now, it's not just going to be a moment. It's going to be a month to remember. That's right. It's a self-fulfilling prophetic name that the Holy Ghost gave for this gathering. Called it a September to remember. It'll be something to remember for a long time. And that's what we are believing God for. The experience will be with us for a long time. To God be the glory. I believe that with all my heart. And that's what we're looking forward to. But I got to make preparation. I can't leave it up to chance, and just hope that it's so. No, I have got to make preparation. And you've got to make preparation. And in that period, we expect that God will be raising up champions of faith. And these are all the things that we're expecting. The glory. And we ourselves being transformed, some transformation must happen when you experience the glory. The transformation that Isaiah experienced was Holy Ghost branding, or the fire branding. I can call it that. When he saw the glory of God in Isaiah chapter 6, he realized that something was missing in his life. He needed some cleansing of his tongue, making provision. God had called him. He was going to be a spokesman for God. But something was still wrong with that tongue. And to deal with it. And then he dealt with it. He asked God for grace and help. Help me. I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Lord, sent one of the seraphims. Took some coals of fire from the altar and branded his tongue. And that was a transformation. So there must be transformation when we experience the glory. The result of the glory experience is transformation in our lives. So that's the expectation. But transformation into what though? Champions of faith. That's right. That's a theme for the conference, transforming believers into champions of faith. And now God is also saying, experience the glory. You got to experience the glory to bring that transformation. So everybody must experience that. If you're there, then make sure you don't go away without experiencing that. And come and experience it. Don't be told. Be told. Praise the Lord. the more of the knowledge of God that we acquire, the stronger His presence in our lives will be. That will cause us to do greater exploits. Daniel 11:32 says, and that people that do know their God, the people that do know their God shall be strong. And so that knowledge of the holy, the knowledge, the revelation of God to us. Paul said, I pray that you be filled with the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That is what brings the power. People that do know their God shall be strong. You know, if they were not strong before, that knowledge will bring strength and glory and power into their lives. And it caused them to do exploits. So let's look at the sequence in Daniel 11:32, part B. The people that do know their God. So there must be a revelation of the things of God. You know, things of God. Spirit of wisdom, spirit of revelation must be present. In the knowledge of Christ to produce power and glory in our lives, which will then cause us to do exploits. So that's the full sequence as we read in Ephesians chapter 1, starting from verse 15, but verse 18 is where I'm going. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love unto all the saints, I cease not to give thanks, you know, for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Yeah, that's right. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the wisdom, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Yeah, so the people that do know their God. So there must be knowledge that's imparted. The deep things of God must be imparted to us. These are all the prayer points as we prepare our hearts. You know, every one of us must be praying towards that. The deep things of God must be imparted unto us so that we would know God even more. You know, and then the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened. Receive the power. When you know Him, it leads to spiritual strengthening. So the people that do know their God shall be strong. But first, you must know Him. That's what Moses said. Lord, show me thy way that I may know thee. Paul also, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. I mean, these people, Moses and Paul, they were people that already, quote unquote, already knew the Lord. You know, I mean, how can you say that Moses didn't know the Lord at the time that he was praying this prayer? You know, he knew the Lord for sure, but he was yet still praying that, you know, he would know the Lord. Now, therefore, I pray thee, Lord, if I have found grace in thy sight, because you said, I know thee by name and that you have found grace in my sight. So Moses is going to cash in on that. You know, say, well, you told me that I found grace in your sight. Well, if it be then that I found grace in your sight, then do this thing for me. Hallelujah. I began to pray. I said, Lord, show me thy way that I may know thee. He wanted to know God even more. You know, want to know you, Lord. If I found grace in thy sight, he said, now therefore I pray thee. That is Exodus chapter 33 and verse 13. if I have found this grace in your sight, wherein you told me I found grace in your sight, and that you know me by name. Now, if that be the case, then show me thy way, Lord, that I may know thee. This way is in the whirlwind. Show me thy way, Lord, that I may know thee. And that I may even find that grace that you've told me I have found. See how it works? God tells you, you know, something, you latch onto it, you tell him back, and then he gives you more of it. Show me thy way that I may know thee. Knowing him is what generates, you know, that glory and that power in us. If we don't know him, all we will see are his acts. You know, he showed Moses his ways, but then he reveals his acts to the children of Israel. That was a big difference. You know, but the children of Israel, they didn't want to know the Lord like that. But Moses wanted to know the Lord. So Moses was asking, Lord, show me your ways that I may know thee. Children of Israel, they didn't really care that much to know the Lord. So there was a difference in their experience of God. There's a difference. One man who wanted the glory, you know, according to Psalm 103 verse 7, one man wanted to know his ways and to know the Lord. The other people, well, you know, they didn't really care too much about that. They were just wanting to know what God could do for them. He made known his ways unto Moses. Psalm 103 verse 7. And his acts to the children of Israel. So, very, very different experience. Moses knew his way and he wanted to know more of God. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, you know, that I may know him. This Paul already knew him, but yet he wanted to know him even more so. Well, that's how we experience the glory. That's how Paul experienced even more glory, to the point that he was even caught up, you know, to the third heaven, he said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, we may conform to his death. He by any means, I mean, Philippians 3 and 10, he wanted to know God. The people that know him shall be strong and they will experience the power of God, because now through that knowledge, they can do exploits, you know. So that's what we are expecting. We're expecting the Spirit of God to move among the people. But first, he that hath an ear, let him hear what this Spirit is calling us unto. And prepare yourself. You got to prepare yourself. Praise the Lord. So everybody that's going to be in the conference must prepare themselves to be a vessel of honor, fit for the master's use. Don't just come, say, oh, I'm coming to listen to some great teaching. No, that's part of it, but what are you going to get out of it? You yourself must become champions of faith and instruments in the house of the, the hands of the Lord. You know, he said, look, in a great house, there are many vessels. Well, let's think of that house as the house of the Lord. You know, there are many vessels. Well, kinds of vessels. In your own house, there are many vessels too. What kind of vessels? Some vessels are, you know, unto honor, and some are unto dishonor. As it is written in 2 Timothy chapter 2. You know, it said, Paul here is using household items. you know, as a metaphor to explain this thing. He said, well, when you look at your house in a large house, you know, you find that there are many kinds of vessels there. Many kinds of dishes. Some are fine china. You put them in the, you know, in the china place and so forth. Some are just run-of-the-mill things. You throw them around the kitchen. I mean, you know, different vessels. But there's a secret here that he delivers in 2 Timothy, you know, chapter 2. He delivers that secret from verse 20. Let's read it. In a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver. So those are the precious ones. But there are also of wood and of earth, some of them to honor and some to dishonor. There are some you don't even care about. Even if they break or get stained or whatever, you don't care. Just vessels of dishonor. Yeah, they're just there for run-of-the-mill occasions that, you know, until you're ready to bring out the fine china. Well, if a man therefore purge himself from this, he shall be a vessel of honor. So it means that we can actually submit ourselves to purging so that we can be a vessel of honor. Sanctified. That's the preparation, you know, and meet for the master's use. So everybody that's coming, I pray that the master will use you in one way or another. Paul said, what is it then when you come together, every one of you had a dream, a tongue, a revelation, a dream, you know, a song, a this. As long as everything is done decently and in order, that's fine. You know, don't just be a passenger or standby or standby person. No, God will use you also in that meeting. Some things we have not experienced for a long time, some of us, is, you know, when you are in the congregation, where the Spirit of God will come upon you, not the other person. you know, that's like when they were there. I mean, we don't know that they, you know, anybody knew this man in, you know, Second Chronicles too much before this event, you know, maybe here and there, but not a whole lot. But, you know, we're told who he was. Jahaziel, son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, the son of Jeriah, you know, and the son of Mattaniah. You know, he was a Levite, but, I mean, he wasn't really a prophet. But the Spirit of God came upon him when they were in the assembly. So it can be you that the Spirit of God will come upon to give us instruction and encouragement. You know, you got to believe for these things, praise the Lord, and make ourselves ready. We must get ready for the glory, everybody. You know, Jesus said, you know, you must have expectation. How did he teach expectation? He said, well, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you will receive them and you shall have them. That's expectation. It's in there. When he's talking about believing, it's also expectation because say you shall have, which means, well, we don't know whether you have it immediately or you have it in 1 or 2 days or later, but you will have it. So during the time that you're waiting for it, you're building expectation. Glory to God. So we must be building expectation in our heart. So let me summarize again. And again, I presented a lesson similar to this yesterday, but then noted that many people were not here to hear it. So it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to me to present it again to you today. Plus, of course, you can also listen to the replay. You know, this month of August is our month of preparation for the divine encounter. Praise the Lord. And it doesn't matter whether you are going to be there physically or not physically, virtually, you must prepare along with us. And God will reach you. God, distance is not a problem for God. God is going to reach you where you are. Peter on the day of Pentecost said, this promise is unto you, you know, and to your children and all that are far off. Yeah, you can be far off. We might be in Phoenix, Arizona. You might be in Canada. You might be in the UK. You might be in Nigeria. You might be in Ghana. Doesn't matter. All that are far off. That's what he said. As many that the Lord shall call. Is the Lord calling? Well, when God calls, the people must respond, though. That's the thing. We got to respond. And some people responded right away. Some people gave excuses when God called. Jesus, when he called some fishermen, you know, they responded. When Jesus called Peter, he responded because Andrew probably told him, hey, you know, I met the master, this and this. You really? Yeah. Okay. So then one day they were fishing and Jesus comes by and says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And Andrew whispers to Peter, he said, that's him. And they drop everything and just followed him. Call many people like that, you know. Matthew, some of them sitting at the tax collection and different things. Soon as they called, they just dropped everything, followed. Other people, though, they didn't do it like that. There were some of them actually said, Lord, I want to follow you, but I got to go do this other thing first. Jesus said, well, you know, when you do that, there's a story in Luke chapter 9 captures some of this stuff. Different scenarios in which people had an opportunity to align with the call of Jesus, the call of God. But, you know, there was a man that God already called him. He wanted to follow Jesus, you know, but in his heart, he wasn't sure, you know, whether he had what it took. And Jesus read his mind. Jesus can see their thoughts. He just knew that this man, was, you know. So the Lord said to him, well, he said, Master, I'll follow you wherever you go. And the Lord said, well, you know, think about what you just said. Because foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man doesn't have anywhere to lay his head. So if you want to follow me, think about that. What are you going to do when it turns out that you don't find a place to lay your head? This is what Jesus was saying, because he knew the man's heart. You know. Then another one Jesus said to, said, follow me. And the man says, well, I will, but I got to go bury my dead first, my dead father. And Jesus looked at the man. He knew that that thing was going to be a big time distraction for him. When he goes down that rat hole, if you want to call it that, he's going to not get out of it easily. Get sucked into making preparation for the father's burial and all of these things. Relatives and families arguing and fighting over what stuff. Jesus said, look, you're not going to get out of that thing very easily. Let those dead people bury the dead. You go and preach the kingdom of God. Well, to another one, you know, he said, you know, follow me or I'll follow you. And I said, but I got to go bid my family farewell first. And Jesus said to him, well, you already started that. This one was already, you know, following the Lord. He was about to take the next step in his call. But he was still had all these things lingering, these attachments and different things. And Jesus looked into the man's heart and said, look, any man putting his hand on the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. So you see, he was addressing every situation. and telling the people, you got to set your priorities. And in each case, he gave the answer that he knew was would address that particular person's situation. And this story you can find in Luke chapter 9. And at the end of it, in verse 62, was where he made that statement that no man, having put his hand on the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom. You know, so if the Lord has called you into this walking with God, well, he's also calling you into this September to Remember event. So why are you spending so much time talking about? Because the Holy Spirit said so. You know, and I got to obey. Obey my voice. That's right. Obey my voice. Obey my voice. So prepare your heart. Praise the Lord. Well, that's the lesson today in preparation. What are we expecting? Well, get ready for the glory. Say, on your marks, get set and go. Right now, it's on your marks. By the 20th of this month through the 23rd, when we're doing that consecration, it'll be get set. And then there will be go, finally. So right now it's on your marks, you know, yeah, ready, we're getting ready. And make preparation in your heart. You know, some people did not even get themselves ready for the Lord's coming on time. And then it was in the last moments that they started to scramble and they missed it because they did not prepare on time. They finally did get that oil, but it was too late. You know, by the time they came back from purchasing the oil, it was too late. The bridegroom had come and had shut the door. And Jesus said, well, when the bridegroom had risen and shut the door and ye begin to stand outside and to say, open unto us, then he shall respond and say, I don't know you. Whence you are? You know, now, the people that God will know are the people that will know God. And they are the people that will make preparation on time. If you delay, then God might say, well, I don't know you. So make preparation on time. An encounter with God must not be casual. This encounter must not be casual because God announced it. Now, if it was unannounced, that's a different story. There are some people in the Bible that there were unannounced visitations. Like Mary, she didn't know Gabriel was coming. She was just minding her business, you know. But not in this case when God has been announcing it. You know, God's been announcing it, then we need to make preparation. God is calling for a gathering. He's preparing a moment in this conference, and many things are expected to happen. What's your personal expectation? We need to prepare, you know, individually, but also collectively. The collective atmosphere must be unity. That's it. Unity, united with one mouth, speaking one thing, with one heart, one purpose. If nobody is going to be united in the purpose, they should not come. You know, if you are of doubtful disposition in your heart, then just stay away. You know, don't be the Achan in the camp. But I pray, the Bible says, but examine yourselves, you know, that you be in the faith. You know, one time Paul said, look, do not eat at the table of the Lord unworthily. It was a warning. But then he turned around and said, but let every man examine themselves and then let them eat. So whenever there's a warning, the warning is not to scare people away. It is for you to respond positively and then partake. So don't be, you know, run off just because we said, well, if you're not going to be in unity, don't be there. Yeah, that means what is really your response should be, well, let me examine my heart to make sure I'm in, you know, unity and then attend. Praise the Lord. Invitation is for all. What I say to one, I say unto all. And Jesus said, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. We want to experience that. You know, and some of us need, we all actually do need this revival fire. It's been a while that we actually experience, you know, say, Lord, you know, the psalmist said, as I've seen you in the sanctuary, I want to see it again. I want to see that. I want to see that. I want to experience that again. We must make preparation in our hearts. Praise the Lord. Now, let's think about this. Today is August 3rd. The conference, it's a prayer, it's a teaching, it's a prayer fire and teaching conference. You know, there are many things that we expect. The Lord is preparing our hearts and showing us, you know, John chapter 16 and verse 13 says, Holy Spirit will show you things to come. It's already showing us things that he will do, but we must prepare. You know, when the Lord says, I will do this thing, then we must prepare for that thing. You know, and say, well, I want to make sure that I'm not in a way of what God will do. The flesh is one of the things we'll be dealing with when we call that consecration fast starting on August 20th this month. Consecrate, prepare for the convocation. When we convocate in person, that convocation is a month from today. But we must prepare. When the Lord is preparing our heart, we must yield and let him have his perfect way with us. God is calling us out of the routine. You know, we just, you know, we love the Lord and so forth, but there's nothing really new happening. You know, just run-of-the-mill Christianity experience, if you want to call it that. Something must give, and then we must prepare our hearts, must be ready, and let God bring in transformation. When we leave the place, even while we're still there, we'll experience revival fire in our hearts that we want to go out and tell somebody. We want to go out and heal the sick. We want to go out and do something. And we'll experience that. To God be the glory. Father, I thank you, Lord, as you begin to prepare us, Lord. Help us also prepare our hearts. The Bible says in Ezra 7 and 10 that Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. Lord, help us to prepare our hearts. Sanctify yourselves, for the Lord is coming among you, Joshua said. Lord, I pray that you help us to sanctify ourselves. Purge ourselves from all the negative debris, the kinks and so forth that's not allowing the flow. Lord, help us. If a man purge himself from all these unkink, purge out the clogs, and it will be a vessel fit for the master's use. Every one of us, you know, purge us out, O Lord, even as it is written, purge out therefore the old leaven, and we will be fit for the master's use. To God be the glory. As you make preparation in our hearts, O Lord, enable us. Scripture says it is God that works in you both to will and to perform. Philippians 2 and 13. So the very willingness, Lord, comes from you. Therefore, give us a willing heart. Lord, put in David's heart to pray for his son Solomon. Say, Lord, give him a willing heart. Well, I pray for all of us. Give us, Lord, a willing heart. And enable us to do this thing that the Lord is calling us to. Prepare ourselves, not just on the days of the fast, but every day from now on. Preparing ourselves, getting ourselves ready, expecting something from the Lord. And our expectation, the Bible says, shall not be cut off. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.